Now I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of vision. Our text from Habakkuk this morning, where God told his prophet Habakkuk to write the vision and make it plain. And when I speak about vision, I'm talking about your life mission. I'm talking about your assignment. I'm talking about your purpose for which you were created. And Joseph was an excellent case study when it comes to vision. He was an exceptional young man. He had a mission from God, and so do you. He had a calling from God, and so do you. He was tempted and tried, and you will be too. Joseph was obligated to his father. He was opposed to evil, but he was obedient to God. And from ages 18 to 30, nothing went right for Joseph from a human point of view. And I want you to look in Genesis chapter 37 in your Bible this morning, Genesis chapter 37. And let's just read a portion of this. God only took three chapters to talk about the creation of the universe, but he took 25% of the book of Genesis to talk about Joseph. So there must be something significant here for us. And we'll just kind of blurt in right here at Genesis chapter 37 and verse 3. The Bible says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, and that was not a good thing, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that his father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream and told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear you, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood about round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it his father and his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Now Joseph had a God-given dream. This was not a daydream, a wishful desire. It was not a night dream. It was not the product of his subconscious or his imagination. Joseph had a God-given dream that foretold of his future, and it gave him purpose. At the very outset of his life, Joseph was given a glimpse of his destiny, and I think we can learn a lot about the power of vision from the life of a man like Joseph. Now, let me give you several main points. Number one, vision is God-given. Vision is God-given. Vision is God-given. Somebody said sight is a function of the eyes, but vision is a function of the heart. Sight is a function of the eyes, but vision is a function of the heart. Now, God gave Joseph a vision. His father's and his brother's sheaves, these stalks of corn, were bowing down before his sheaf. His brothers despised him. His father rebuked him. And Joseph's vision came in the form of things with which he was familiar, yet it was a strange dream. I mean, who ever heard of such a dream of, you know, some stalk of corn bowing down to his stalk of corn? And let me say that you may not totally understand your vision. You may not totally comprehend your vision at the outset, because you are not going to get the full picture of your life mission in one vision or one visit with God. Because God's interested in a relationship more than he is an event. So God gives information one paragraph at a time instead of normally one chapter at a time. Now, Joseph was excited when he got this vision. And he blabbed his vision. He told his brothers about it. He told them about the second vision. He told his father. He had no idea of what he would go through. He had no idea of how God would bring the details to pass. But he spoke what he had seen. He verbalized his dream. And I want to challenge you here this morning at the outset. Get a God-given dream early on in your life. Don't meander through life. Listen, your life mission is not something you observe. It's something you pursue. And you've got to identify your assignment and get on with the program. It's God-given. Now, God called Moses to deliver the Egyptians. So what did he do? He went out and killed one Egyptian. He had no conception of the means that God might use to deliver. He didn't have the entire plan. And he may not have done the right thing, but he did something. And then God directed him the rest of the way. But he was moving in accordance with his vision, his mission. Now, the Lord directed him to the backside of the desert for a 40-year educational process. Now, you might not understand your vision at first. And let me say this. I'll guarantee you, others may not appreciate your vision. Other people may not appreciate your vision. Lester Pipkin had a vision to come to Beckley, West Virginia, and start a Bible college. And I want to tell you, others might not appreciate your vision all the time. But look at what's here now. Joseph's brothers, they were incensed when they heard about being subject to their brother. They were intimidated by his dreams. They were agitated by his dreams. They were infuriated by his dreams. And they mocked one time and said, "Behold, the dreamer cometh. Let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will see what would become of his dreams." Not everybody's going to appreciate your vision. Now, his brothers were really upset, and his father was equally upset. Others may not comprehend your vision. Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He came to his own covenant people, and they received him not because they did not comprehend and appreciate his mission. Now, people who have impacted their world are people who have declared independence from other people's expectations. The people who impact their world are people who have declared independence from other people's expectations. I'm just here to tell you that God gave you a purpose before anybody had an opinion. And what other people think doesn't make any difference whatsoever. Do what God called you to do. Get beyond the fear of man before you get 60 years old. You ought to say amen on that point right there. Get beyond the fear of man. And just go ahead and do what God calls you to do, no matter if you've never seen it done before. And by the way, there's more greater works of God than what we've ever seen in our lifetime. And I thank God that God's rising up some people with a God-instilled vision. It does come from God. Now, what about this right here? Vision comes from God. It's something God births in your heart. You don't decide your assignment. You discover your assignment. Your assignment is not something you decide upon. It's something that you discover. Now, you need to identify your motivated interest. You need to identify your motivated interest. Now, what is it that captivates you? What are you passionate about? What do you dream about when you're laying in bed at night because you went to Starbucks once too much? Have you ever wanted something so much that you could just taste it? What is it you dream about? What is your dream? Everybody's looking for the will of God everywhere except in their own hearts. But the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the... Now, you can navigate the will of God through sanctified desires. And when you're right with God and filled with the Holy Spirit, what you want is what God wants. You need to pay attention to your desires because vision is different from ambition. Ambition normally benefits self, but vision always benefits others. Now, let me give you some definitions of visions that I think will help you. Now, we're going to have to talk fast. I'm already out of breath. This is a short chapel, so hang on the best you can. Vision is a bridge from the past to the future. Vision is a bridge from the past to the future. Vision is the eye of faith to see the invisible and the decisiveness to make it visible. Vision is the power that causes people to make huge sacrifices in order to become all they can become for God. Notice this fourth definition. Vision is a clear mental image of a preferable future. Vision is a clear mental image of a preferable future imparted by God to his chosen servants, and is based upon an accurate understanding of God, self, and circumstances. I think Barna, I think that's his quote. Vision is adopting an action plan that will enable you to move forward in your Christian life and ministry. Notice number 6. Vision is the inward fire which enables you to boldly communicate to your peers what the future will be like. Look at that. Vision is that inward fire which enables you to boldly communicate to your peers what the future will be like. Number, look at this one. Vision is the dynamic that enables you to translate your faith and dreams into a new and personal walk with God. Wow. What about number 8? Vision is the God-given energy which will make you become a risk taker. And I have an announcement here for the Bernie Sanders crowd. Get off of it. Get off of your backside. Go out and make your own way. Pay your own way. And let me tell you something. As a Christian worker, if you're on welfare when you retire, we have not got the vision God intended us to have. That is really good preaching that you're doing right there. All right, now notice number 9. Vision is that moral obligation that mandates your behavior in accordance with God's will. Now you're going to get great gains from a great risk. We had a prayer advance one year. Pastor Warren Brown up in Czech, Virginia, which would kind of be like Belva, kind of removed from the main drag. And he got before his church the day after the men's prayer advance. They had a building that needed help. I'm telling you, it really needed help. And he got up on Sunday morning and he said, I'm asking God to send in the finances for the heating and air conditioning from outside the church. He said, some of you can write a check here this morning, but I don't want you to write a check. He said, I'm asking God to send in finances for the heating and air conditioning from outside the church. Just got up and made this announcement off the guy. Well, he came to church that night, pulled out a check for the entire amount from somebody outside of the congregation. Now, can I just say something to you? You can play it safe and never do much, or you can pursue your God-given dream. And Joseph had a vision that came from God. It's God-given. Notice number 2, vision gets you through the fire. Vision gets you through the fire. God destined Joseph for a place of great influence, a great responsibility, a great power. And few things will develop our character as much as adversity. Joseph had to be put on the potter's wheel. There was pressures from within. There were pressures from without. He got put into the furnace of affliction. Notice the 2 fiery trials of Joseph. Number 1 was with his brothers. His brothers, his own family. I mean, his brothers had evil thoughts. They spoke evil words. They committed evil acts. They conspired to kill him. They stripped him of his coat, shoved him in a pit, sold him into slavery. I want to tell you, when your entire family is against you, you have a serious public relations problem going on. And I want to tell you, his brothers absolutely despised him. He suffered tremendous loss. He lost his freedom. He lost his father. He lost his family. He lost everything with which he was familiar. That was one trial. The second one was with Potiphar's wife. You know the story. Now, there's no question but what Potiphar's wife was a very beautiful woman. They would never ask her to be on the extreme makeover if she was alive in 2017. Guys like Potiphar, buddy, they got the best looking women in the kingdom. That's just the way it was back in those days. And here this woman, Potiphar's wife, attempts to seduce Joseph. So Joseph was not exempt from temptation, trials, difficulty, and adversity. And he went through seasons of extreme adversity. The Bible says, if you faint in the day of affliction, your strength is small. There's always the possibility of losing heart during the hard times. Joseph went through years of suffering, silence, and seclusion. Man, it took a long time before he was exalted in Egypt, but he kept his focus. And I want to tell you something, he never lost his dream. And I don't know whether some of your parents might have problems while you're in college. Somebody in your family might get sick. You might have a crisis. Can I just say to you here this morning, dear ones, don't let the hard times strip you from your dream. Joseph got put in a pit. His boss put him in prison for over 12 years. He was incarcerated for doing nothing. But Joseph went from the pit to the prison to the palace by the grace of God, because no bitterness ever rose up in his heart. And I want to tell you that vision imparts power. Vision imparts purpose and perseverance. Let me tell you what, it took me 60 years to articulate my vision. That's pitiful, isn't it? I mean, that's really, really bad. You know what my assignment is? My assignment is to the hungry hearted. My assignment is to the hungry hearted, to the revival hearted, and to the broken hearted. That's the crowd I can talk to. That's the crowd I can minister to. That's the crowd I can be a blessing to. And I'm just here to tell you, you've got to identify what your assignment is, and God wants to give you a photograph of what your future is going to look like. And you don't have to wait until you're on AARP age to get it. Amen? But it was his integrity and his industry that caused him to be put in charge of the prison, but it was his dream that sustained him. It was his hope for a better day. Listen, adversity not only proves your faith, it improves your character if you'll respond in faith. When cancer comes knocking, you got an opportunity to trust God. And let me just say this, you really don't know what you believe until you get it put in a place of trial. You really just don't know. And don't go giving cliche answers to people in crises. Keep your mouth shut. Well, you just need to trust the Lord, brother. Well, yeah, could you help me tell me how to trust the Lord? Could you give me a little assistance right here? And I'm telling you, Joseph was in a crisis situation. And Andrew Barner said, we've gotten more from Paul's time in prison than we did from his trip to the third heaven. Vision is that fire that conquers all your fire in your bones that conquers the fiery trials you experience on earth. Vision keeps you going. You know, Peter didn't do everything right. He denied the Lord 3 times and cursed. That's beyond demerits. That's getting kicked off campus. He cursed 3 times. That's what the Bible says. He denied the Lord 3 times. But what happened? Jesus birthed hope in Peter by showing him a photograph of his future victories. He said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And I'm here to tell you, it's the fire in your heart that's going to get you through the fiery trials in life. One time there were 2 twins. There's a couple of twins here today. There was two twins. This is not you, okay? This is not you. One time there was 2 other twins. One was an optimist and one was a pessimist. So the parents took them to a psychiatrist to try to get them sorted out. And the psychiatrist put the depressed boy in a room full of brand new toys. Brand new toys. He put the other guy in a room full of horse manure. The optimist, he put in a room filled with nothing but horse manure. So he left him for a while. The psychiatrist went back to check on him. And then when he got there, he found the depressed boy in the room full of brand new toys, weeping and sobbing and moaning. And the psychiatrist said, "What is wrong?" And the boy said, "I was afraid I might break some of the toys." Then he went to the other room, full of horse manure, where the optimist was located. And he found the optimistic boy in there, digging through the horse manure, throwing it up in the air, having the time of his life. And the psychiatrist said, "Man, what in the world are you doing?" He said, "Well, with all this manure around here, there's got to be a pony around here somewhere." It just depends on how you look at it. Now, some of you sanguine people, you know, you're having a party in the room full of manure, and some of the rest of us are afraid of breaking the new toys. I'm just here to tell you, your temperament, you got to get over your temperament. You got to get over your emotions. You got to get over your feelings. You got to be beyond what you can see, and you got to do right because it is right, and God will lift your head as you go along. That's the way this works. You can't choose your race. You can't choose your gender. I don't think. By the way, I had a girl call me up from Duke University, and she said, "Mr. Vaughn, I'm here to interview you. What would you consider your ethnicity to be at birth?" What? What would you consider your ethnicity to be at birth? I said, "Well, that's interesting because I had an ethnicity change only 2 months ago." I don't know if I told you this one. The NIH, National Institutes of Health, called me up to interview. Well, I was sitting in front of the girl, and she said, "Mr. Vaughn, I have to ask you a question." She says, "Now, what was your gender at birth?" I said, "What? What was your gender at birth?" And I said, "Don't ask me any more stupid government questions. New York State has 32 gender identities at present. I'm here to tell you, there's 2 gender identities, male and female. That's it. That's it. You got to figure out who you are. You got to figure out why God put you here. You can't do anything about your parents or where you came from. My father was 46 when I was born. I come from a tobacco farm in Southside, Virginia, where we plowed with mules. I just want to let you know, you're looking at a guy that has a great stock and great heritage standing before you here this morning. And don't you worry about where you came from. You can't change none of that, but I tell you what, you can change your attitude. You don't have to hang out in that weeping in that room full of brand new toys, buddy. I'm telling you, you can learn to have a party as you go through life, and goals will help you persevere. Goals will get you through the fire. But let me give you this third thing, and that is vision determines destiny. Vision determines destiny. You're not going to get what you want in life. You're going to get what you plan for in life. Can I encourage you to have a dream wall? Most homes you go into, there's pictures of what? The past. The past. It's got a history. Well, keep the ones up that inspire you. Take the ones down that don't. But you ought to have a dream wall in your dorm. You ought to have a dream wall in your home. You ought to put up pictures of what you think your future is going to look like. Now, why? Well, Philip Brooks said, sad will be the day for any man when he becomes satisfied with the life he is living, the thoughts he is thinking, and the deeds he is doing, when there's not beating at the doors of his soul a desire to do something greater, which he knows he was meant to do because he is a child of God. Listen, it's nobody else's responsibility to keep you inspired. That's why you're going to have to learn to inspire yourself. Nobody's going to tell you what you need to hear, so you're going to have to learn to talk to yourself and tell yourself what you need to hear. David one time said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in anguish? Why are you so depressed? Get up, that I will yet hope, for he is the health of my countenance." He had to talk to himself. And sometimes, I want to tell you something. The challenge in life is to stay in faith and to keep the vision that God gave you on the front burner, brother. And I'm telling you, vision will determine your destiny. Where you are tomorrow will depend about what you're dreaming about today. Your dominating thoughts will direct your destiny. Helen Keller was blind and deaf. Somebody asked her if she could imagine anything worse than not having sight. Helen Keller said, yes. Having sight, but no vision. Having sight, but no vision. Now, God gave Joseph a vision of his destiny when he was young. And vision shows you what the goal is so you can becoming what God says you already are. Learn to walk on the edge of your potential. The average church in America has 68 people on Sunday morning, and ain't nothing happening. The average church in America baptizes nobody over the course of 3 to 5 years. The average church has nobody saved. And people say, well, God's just not moving like he used to. People are not believing like they used to. God didn't call you to sit around and nurture and hold hands over a tiny group of 30 people for the rest of your life. I'm here to tell you, we've got to comfort the feeble-minded. We've got to minister and nurture the people that are hurting. And believe me, I'm all for this. But we need some people to get the fire of God in their bones. Well, get off their backside, cut off the WVA football game, get out there and lead somebody to Jesus because he's worthy of something like that. And the defining feature of conservative Christianity is nothing is happening. And some people think that's the mark of our fidelity. It's a mark of a lack of faith. I know not everybody's going to pastor 10,000 people. I know that. But I'm here to tell you, God wants your ministry to flourish. God wants your ministry to grow. God wants you to see people saved. God wants you to see you build people and build families. God wants to use you. I think we've had such small dreams, no dreams, tame dreams, calm dreams, because all we've seen is pretty much not a whole lot. And I'm not trying to be critical here today. I'm trying to inspire you to believe God for a better day. And I'm just here to tell you, just because the lights have been out doesn't mean they got to stay out. And I'm here to tell you that God wants to, and God is using some of your graduates to build great churches. He wants to use you to build great church, I'm telling you. Well, listen to this one. A vision shows you what the goal is. Now, people who know where they're going intimidate people who are drifting. They intimidate them. There's no way to avoid criticism other than to have nothing, do nothing, and be nothing. Criticism is the death gargle of a non-achiever. Criticism is the death rattle of a non-achiever. Now, listen, your vision will determine your future. You'll never gain momentum toward the future, toward tomorrow, while you're dragging your past behind you. Listen, you got to get beyond the past, the guilt, the grief, and the garbage. You got to forget those things, neglect those things which are behind, stretch toward those things that are before. Listen, if God has put your past behind him, you ought to put it behind you. Some of you have had horrible things happen to you. Can I tell you something? You don't have to opt out to be a career victim. I'm here to tell you the grace of God is greater than the tragedy and the pain that's in your heart. And God can lift you up and take you forward. Your vision, number two, will determine your associations. Your vision will determine your associations. Yeah, help me out, fellas. Just help me out here. If you have a vision, you won't let the people who are going nowhere take you with them. The people you hang around are the kind of people you're going to be. Let your destination determine your company. I'm here to tell you, you can outgrow your friends. I had to leave Southside, Virginia, because I had a bigger dream. I had a bigger vision. Now, listen, the law of association states that you're going to become like the people you spend time with, and every relationship will take you toward your dream or away from it. What you walk away from will determine what God is able to bring you to. Listen to this one. Your vision will determine how you spend your time. Your vision will determine how you spend your time. There's 24 hours in a day. And your vision will determine how much time you watch television. How much time you get on your dumb phone. Amen. Clicking around on that thing. You can do something, but you can't do everything. You can be the jack of all trades, master of none. Or you can be the jack of one trade and the master of one. For what purpose were you created? Vision determines how you spend your time. Then vision determines your duty. It determines your duty. Vance Havner said, the vision must be followed by the venture. The vision must be followed by the venture. It is not enough to stare up the steps. We must step up the stairs. Now, when you know what you're supposed to do, just get with it. Come to my house. I have a vision wall in my sunroom. It's really on a window. In April, God gave me a reassignment. I put 3 books up on my vision wall. How many books have we got ready to go right now? 3 books. I just put up a whole stack of books on my vision wall. I put up a picture of a pure heart because I want to have a pure heart before God. I put all kinds of things up there. And I'm just here to tell you, you've got to not only identify your vision, you've got to start moving toward your vision. Destiny requires diligence. Follow your dream. Don't let the wet blanket brigade and the cold water committee douse the fire that's in your heart. Don't move away from the essence of what God's called you to do. Discern your gifts. Determine your calling. Listen, your assignment will be revealed progressively, and you're obligated to fulfill your assignment. When you know your assignment, there is a flow of energy and enthusiasm that will come out of your heart that will draw other people to help you fulfill your God-given mission. God called Dr. Anderson here to this place. Now, he's excited about this. He's excited about this. And some of you are here. Well, all of you are here because of what God has done in his heart. And I'm just here to tell you, just keep it simple. Stay focused. Somebody is carefully evaluating your progress, your pursuits, and your potential. And if you have a God-given dream, my brother and my sister, go for it. Embrace it. Believe it. Confess it. And go for broke. God told Habakkuk to write the vision and make it plain. Now let me give you this BHAG right here. You say, what is a BHAG? Read it out loud, the end quotes part. Read it out loud. Big, hairy, audacious goal. Read it like you're home yelling at your brother and sister. Read it out loud. Big, hairy, audacious. Do you have a BHAG? Do you have a big, hairy, audacious goal? Do you have some vision that God has planted in your heart? Oh, listen, there's nothing wrong with holy optimism. There's nothing wrong with holy aspiration. If we need anything in this generation, it's some people that have some sanctified ambition, because we're so socialized, feminized, humanized, and emasculated. People think a Christian is somebody who has no emotions and he walks around like Spock who's had a lobotomy. People full of the Holy Ghost don't act like that. I ain't talking about personality type. I'm talking about a little animation. And when you get the fire of God burning in your bones, buddy, you're gonna see something happen. Now, we see facts with our eyes, we see ideals with our minds, ideas with our minds, but we see ideals with our souls. Your life is going to move toward whatever you see in your heart. And the mental photograph that dominates your mind will dictate your behavior. Boy, I don't have time to do this. I'm talking about your mission. Some of you, God's calling you to be a wife and mother. Some of you, he's calling you right now. Your assignment is to teach a Sunday school. You've got a heart for the homeless. You've got a heart for lost people. You've got a heart for children. Now, listen to this real quick. Answer these four questions. Write these down. What goals would I set if I knew I could not fail? What goals would I set if I knew I could not fail? David took a risk when he went after Goliath, but he'd already slain a lion and a bear. And what goal would you set if you knew you couldn't fail? Number two, what about this one? What inspires, captivates, and dominates your thinking? What inspires, dominates, and captivates your thinking? Listen to me. Listen to me. These are clues to help you with your discern your assignment. What are you interested in? Listen to me. What do you weep about? What causes you to cry? Tears are a clue as to how God is going to use you. If you can weep over lost people, God will use you to win lost people. If God can use, if you can weep over revival, God will use you in a reviving ministry. Listen to me. What causes you to smile? I mean, when you hear about something, what is it that you just can't help but? I mean, what are you interested in? What brings joy to your heart? Think about those things. Number three, what price am I willing to pay? You got to be willing to step out in faith. Listen, David slung the stone at Goliath. It wasn't God. It wasn't God. David picked up the stones and went up, and he's the one that God used. And I'm just here to tell you, what price are you willing to pay? D.L. Moody said, pray like it's all up to God, work like it's all up to you. That's good theology. Don't spiritualize lazy habits. Find out what you're supposed to do and get with it. Number four, what sacrifices am I willing to make? What sacrifices am I willing to make? Are you willing to give up other things for the main thing? Joseph sacrificed immediate gratification for a preferred future. Joseph sacrificed the right to become bitter over the injustices. He sacrificed the right to feel sorry for himself. And let me ask you, what are you willing to sacrifice in order that your dream can become reality? When you answer these four questions right here, are you well on your way to writing the vision and make it plain? So we only got 2 minutes left, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to conceal in one sentence what you believe your mission is. What's your assignment at this particular time in life? What is your purpose? What is God calling you to do? Just answer these four questions, and here's how I tell you how to do this. Whatever you think about all the time, whatever causes you to weep, what causes you to smile, what brings blessing to others, the people that compliment you about, what are they complimenting you about? These are clues as to what your assignment may be. Now, pull out your pen and paper. Teachers, everybody, do this 2 minutes and write your vision statement, your mission statement. You need a vision for your ministry, your life, for your family, for your business, for your God, for eternity. Write the vision and make it plain.